Jeremiah 29, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders in exile, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So we're talking about the Babylonian captivity. And notice that Daniel set his face to pray and realized that it was time. You know, that time had been up and they needed to be delivered. So we're getting ahead of ourselves there a little bit, but let's go to verse 10. I'm not going to go there in Daniel, but I just want you to know that that's what they were talking about, the Babylonian captivity, and that it would be they would be restored in 70 years, but they needed to do something. They needed to pray, and that's why Daniel sought to pray for these things, that they would come to pass. Now, verse 10, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and keep my good promise to you, causing you to return to this place. But again, if you go and read Daniel, you'll find that he sought the Lord, and it didn't come to pass until they prayed and sought God and asked. And then that's when God dispersed his angel to go forth and work that out. And today, in this new covenant of grace through faith, we don't have to wait for an angel to come in that respect. We've already been delivered. What do you mean? Well, Christ already died on the cross for us, right? We've already been delivered. So they had to wait 70 years. But at the same time, God had a plan and a purpose for them. And I'm just saying that God has a plan and purpose for us, but it's been taken care of through Christ. And our Babylonian captivity, so to speak, we have been freed in Jesus. So let's keep reading that, and we'll go back at the top of verse 10. Thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and keep my good promise to you, causing you to return to this place. That is God's heart's desire, to keep his promises, to return us where we need to be. And in verse 11, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Amen. To give you hope in your final outcome. And God is needing, it's already completed in Christ. Well, what do you mean completed in Christ? Well, go to Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6. And I will read that in Amplified. And I am convinced and sure of this very thing. And you can just go ahead and turn there, but I'll go ahead and read. I am convinced and sure of this very thing. He didn't doubt. He was sure about it, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing to full completion in you. So to make complete actually means to perfect, which means to mature. But to make complete really means it's a transformation process, and God sees you already healed.
Hallelujah.
God sees you fulfilling his plan, because from the foundation of the world, we could go to that scripture, but understand that it said there are two or three different scriptures that talks about from the foundation of the world, God knew us. And he put his plan in us. And he provided the death, burial, and resurrection in Jesus Christ. And it wasn't until Jesus came and his death, burial, and resurrection that we were able to partake of that. But it did come to pass. And in the Old Testament, you know, Adam, he forfeited his right through sin, he and Eve, and they lost the anointing. They lost that life of God that lived inside of them. So we're given a little bit of background here. If we went to all these scriptures, we wouldn't have time to move on and get to the main point. But understand, if you go to Genesis, and we've taught on this many times, and realize that the Holy Spirit breathed into Adam, and he was made a new creation.
Yes.
He breathed into him life.
Yes.
But through sin, Adam forfeited that. Yeah. And that new life had given him authority, but he no longer had authority.
Right, right.
So in that respect, in the Old Testament, they were able to hear God's word, and they were able to hear from God, but they weren't able to tune into their spirit, and they did not have power within. And really, it's through the word of his power in Hebrews. Not the power in his word, but the word of his power, because Jesus is the word. You could say the voice of his power. You could say that it's something that we believe, we speak it out, and there's power with that speaking. And we said that's our primary action, but then we act it out.
Yes, we do.
Right? And that's a renovation process, remember?
Amen.
But he was convinced, he who began a good work, he'd continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of things that God wants to complete in our life, but he already sees it as complete. Well, what do you mean? That's kind of a contradiction of terms. He sees it as complete because he's already done it in Christ. But we have got to access the realm of the Spirit, which is within. The kingdom of God is within us. We've got to access that. How do you access that? What's the key? The name of Jesus.
Yes.
Turns the lock into the hidden treasures of your heart. And there's more. There's much more. And I'll come to you in the night, and I'll bring things that you've desired for so long. Parasuka. But because you're here and you're crying out for more, certainly I will give you more. Certainly I will give you understanding. Certainly I will fill the longings of your heart. And you'll see that it is me, Pandesto, bearing witness with your spirit, even in the night. Well, if that's for you, take it. I said, if that's for you, take it. We could all take that. I believe God had somebody in mind there, but if that's for you, and it is, take it. Amen? All right, so we go to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. And Paul taught these things many times over, about being like-minded. We see that in Ephesians 4, about being like-minded. But we go to 2 Corinthians 13, 11, and it says, finally, brethren, farewell. In other words, I'm leaving. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Well, the God of love and peace is within us, but we've got to develop these things. In other words, God wants to he wants us to become complete in what he has already completed.
Yes.
It's a faith process.
Yes.
It's a faith process that God saw us from the beginning of time, and he put in us everything that we needed for this life, and he gave us Christ, his son, God, that came down on the earth.
Yeah.
See, as my husband has said over the years, you know, God planned it.
Yeah.
Jesus spoke it. And the Holy Spirit performs it.
Yes.
And he's only able to perform it as we will do like Jesus did and speak it. He's only able to perform it if we will believe the original plan.
That's right. Yes.
And then we will speak that plan. And then we will act out that plan.
Yes.
Again, I'm not trying to confuse you, but I'm going over and over these things because I want you to know that God has placed in you gifts.
Yes.
And God has already given you the gift of healing.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
He's already given, and has anybody received the gift of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Well, sure. At salvation, we received inherent in us is the Spirit of Christ. When we said we believe Jesus Christ came, and he died, and he rose again, and I make him my Lord and Savior, even before we stop sinning. In other words, you can't come to God and say, okay, I'm going to stop sinning and then I'm going to receive you.
Yeah, no.
No, that's backwards.
No, that is backwards.
See, because God is a faith God and he expects us to be faith people.
Come on.
And you want to stop sinning, but the only way you can stop sinning is you come and receive his completeness.
Yes.
You come and receive what he has already provided in Christ. And you say, Father, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then, and it's a gift. It's a free gift.
Yeah.
The Spirit of Christ. Inherent in you is love and joy and peace. I don't have to pray for peace. Oh, that just that upends my theology. Well, your theology needs to be upended. If you don't realize, he said, I give you peace. Jesus told him, I give you peace that passes all understanding. And we see in Galatians that there's joy that he gave us. There's self-control that he gave us. There's gentleness that he gave us. Faith, or many translations say faithfulness that he gave us. We have the ability to be faithful. We can be faithful tithers like we were talking about. Develop that. We can be faithful and obedient to his plan and purpose in our life by coming to church, getting involved, putting our hand to the plow of Helps Ministry. And I understand if you're new here, you know, we don't expect you to start plowing today. Praise the Lord. But eventually you get involved, because when you get involved, you're helping to complete the plan of God here in Lee Summit, here in Kansas City, the metropolitan area. When you put your hand to Helps Ministry, you are helping complete the plan of God, because you are helping this church to grow, to have what it needs. When you're giving, you're helping God to complete his plan here in Kansas City. And really all throughout the world, because there are people that are watching throughout the world right now on this live stream. I mean, we have people, God knows where. I'd have to ask them. Praise the Lord. Kimberly, are you still in here? She left as I was going to ask. What's that? Yeah, all right. I was going to ask some of the places, but we, you know, Singapore and on and on and on. People watching these live streams. So moving right along, we see in James 1:4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let patience, you could say, be self-controlled. Let that work in you, that you may be perfected and complete, that you may mature. And that it says here that word perfect means to prepare, restore, to render, fit, sound, to repair, to complete, to arrange. So when we are perfected in Christ, he is ordering right what he has already put in us. But it's our faith that draws it out. I said it's our faith that draws it out. In your spirit, you have everything you need to prosper in this life. Everything you need to abound in this life. But you've got to draw it out by faith, by speaking, by acting on what he's done. So perfect and complete. And that word complete, again, complete in every part, entire, whole. So that sounds like healing and wholeness, doesn't it?
Yes.
See, he's made you entire.
Yes, he has.
And you might be dealing with a body part that is, you've got symptoms.
Right.
Well, he's provided healing for your parts.
Yes.
But wholeness is entirety.
Entirety.
It's kind of like when you eat a roll, and Mama used to say, eat the whole roll.
Yeah.
You know, don't just, have you ever done that, tear it in half and put half back in the bowl? No, take the whole roll.
That's right.
If you're going to take the roll,
that's
eat
right.
it.
That's good. Right. That's, yes. That's right.
Yeah, you got to put some butter on it, put some jam, whatever. Eat the whole roll. I mean, have some additives to it, but that roll in and of itself, in its entirety, will feed you.
Yes.
Amen. So complete in its parts, in no part wanting or unsound. Amen. So when we're complete, we're healed, we're whole. It's really a threefold redemption.
Yeah.
And what's our threefold redemption? We've been forgiven.
Yep.
In other words, we've been redeemed from spiritual death.
Yeah.
So we are allowed in heaven.
Yes, we are. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We are not going to hell.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
There is a hell to shun.
There is. There is.
And a heaven to gain. Have you ever heard that terminology growing up? There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Let me tell you about heaven.
Glory to God.
Yeah, those were anointed preachers, so they were anointed. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for in Hebrews chapter 11, 1. Faith is a substance. What does that substance mean? It means it's a foundation.
Yes.
It's a foundation. It's an assurance. It's a confidence. It's a setting under. It's a place. Faith in God's word is a foundation, or that rock that Matthew 7:24 is talking about.
Yes.
When we hear and we do, we're building our house on the rock.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
these
right.
Things are simple, but yet they're profound.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You understand? Yes. So listen with intensity.
Yes, ma'am.
Listen with a heart that the Holy Spirit will share with you. You know, you need to confess this. You need to work on this area.
Yes. Yep.
You need to believe this, because I've made you complete, but you're not walking out your completeness in this.
Yeah.
Right? And to walk out your completeness of what he's already done, you've got to hear it, meditate on it as part of hearing, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Just look at it, focus on it, and then revelation comes. Remember, knowledge, understanding, which is revelation, and then wisdom is the application of that revelation.
Amen.
And the wisdom takes you into that completeness experientially. It takes you into that manifestation. It's not our place to manifest the healing power of God.
Right.
But if we believe that in him, I've been complete already, so our redemption is forgiveness of sin, redemption from spiritual death, and then what? Number two, we've been redeemed from sickness and disease. And number three, what is it?
Poverty and lack.
We've been redeemed from poverty and lack. But we've got to do something with it.
Yes, ma'am.
And we need to be right.
Yes.
Tithers, givers.
That
means everywhere. Not just your local church, but your local church ought to be first. I mean, I think anybody with half sense understands that, right? But at the same time, I've said this at different times. Pastor Jay knows I get into his wallet and I get money out of there, right? Sometimes I tell him. But anyway, I mean, it's mine too, right?
That's right.
Sometimes I forget. Oh, by the way, you need to go by the bank. Why is that? Because I took all your money. That's right. Because I go on shopping, honey. You know. Isn't that what we do? All right. Isn't that what we do? I'm just saying. Now, it used to be in my more deceptive days that I'd get $20 or $40 out of the bank and wouldn't tell him, and then I'd go do whatever I want, and then he wouldn't know. What'd you do with that? I have secret things of the Lord. And he didn't know. I went and got me a Hershey's candy bar, and I got me a soda, and I just fleshed out. Well, anyway, you know? No, you've never done that. Never. Never pull over and park and ate three tacos, a Hershey's candy bar, and drink a shake. And never done that, right? All right. You got to be careful with that one, because it gets to be a habit, and then there's, you're going to experience something.
Uh-oh, look out there now.
It's the widening effect. All right. We enjoy the consumption, but it's the byproduct of that we don't enjoy so much. I'm going to Florida, so I can't be, I got to do some toning. I'm just saying. All right, moving right along. I just knew you wanted to know that. Moving right along. It's just a bunch of women, but still, you know, moving right along. I could go further, but I'm not. I'm going to stop right there. So it's the substance. It's a foundation. It's a setting under. And really, in the Complete Word Study Bible, it says in the substance, it's the assurance, it's the guarantee, it's the reality.
Yes.
So faith is the reality. The reality of what? It's a spiritual reality. Because it has not become a natural reality. Okay, inside my spirit being, it's real.
It is.
But it's of a different realm.
Yeah.
That's right.
You can't see it with a microscope.
No.
But we believe.
And
we believe that there's a developing, there's a maturing, there's a perfection, there's a completeness taking place. And we see in our mind that there's a renewing of the mind and a developing of the heart. So maybe you never heard it, we came around a different way, but I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. So let's go to Romans chapter 12. And we'll read that here in a minute. But it's a reality when we believe it. I mean, it's a spiritual reality whether you believe it or not. But I guess I should say if you want to experience it. And how the spirit realm works and the kingdom of God within you, which is part of the spirit realm, you've got to believe that you receive what has already been provided.
That's right.
In Christ. You've got to believe that you receive healing.
Absolutely.
Actually, you are the healed of the Lord.
Yes.
He has already healed you through Christ.
Right.
We see that back in Isaiah 53, 3 through 5. He was wounded for our transgressions.
Yep.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Therefore, we receive peace, right?
That's right.
Yeah. By his stripes, we are healed.
We were, we are, we is.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, you can go to, is it 1 Peter 3 or is it 2 Peter? I mean, all these years, and then I get 1 and 2. Yeah, 2 Peter 2:24. By his stripes, we are healed, my friend. So that's part of what we have in our redemption package. That's who we are. I am the healed of the Lord. Now, in Romans 12, verse 1, Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, let me stop here and say a good example of this, although maybe he didn't believe everything the way we believed it, was the man Charlie Kirk. And we've all heard of that precious man and his witness into the colleges. I don't know everything he believed, honestly. I watched a couple of clips of his, and it's a sad, you know, day in the United States when people cannot go onto college campuses and have a, you know, a debate or just let others know. About, see, this nation was founded on godly principles.
Yes, it was.
And there is a whole side and motivated by the devil that's trying to get us to believe that we have no right to speak Christian principles. And that we should be done away with.
No.
But the truth of that is we have every right. This world was made by God.
That's right.
See, Adam, he gave authority to the devil, and he's the God. The devil is the god of this world.
Right.
But in Christ, we take the authority back.
That's right.
So I can go wherever I want.
That's right.
And preach the gospel. And actually, I'm protected and kept. You understand that? And I have no opinion on how somebody is to die, or that I would ever badmouth him in any way, shape, or form, because he was a godly man.
Amen.
And I don't put my opinion on that. We do have martyrs. You understand?
Yeah.
I mean, in the Bible, we have martyrs. So I don't put my opinion on that. Well, why did that happen? I don't know. All I know is now we have a bunch of little Charlies.
Thank you.
And there's revival happening all over the country. I mean,
there really is.
Football teams, even in Iowa, Anamosa, they were having prayer and what have you. Colleges all over. Well, I didn't like his politics. Did you like his God? I'm just saying.
Hello.
Maybe you don't agree with everything, everybody, but we have one common character, is that we all are of the spirit realm. In other words, the kingdom of God, not all, those who have received Christ Jesus. Because those who have not received Christ Jesus, their light is out. See, they lost it when Adam sold out to sin.
That's right.
What does this have to do with renewing your mind, developing your heart? Okay.
Come on.
Well, you haven't heard a word I said, if that was your comment. So, what were we talking about? Well, what's that? Yeah. We present our body. So this man presented his body on a daily basis, telling people about Jesus Christ. That was the main message. Sure, he had political things and this and that, which, you know, I agreed with a lot of them, but I'm not here to push political points. right? But I am here to push righteousness. You're pushing it? Oh, yeah. You can take it or not. You know, I'm not really pushing it off on you. I'm putting it out there. All right? It's moving. It's flowing. It's going. In other words, if I were being passive, I wouldn't be putting anything out there. So in that respect, boldly, we press our point. Boldly, we let people know what we believe and what we stand for.
Hallelujah.
Boldly.
Hallelujah.
We answer questions with real knowledge.
Yes.
The reality of the realm of the Spirit and who we are in Christ. But you can't do that if your mind is not renewed.
Right.
You can't do that if your spirit is not developed. You can get the wrong things down in your heart.
Right.
Yeah, you can. Romans, I didn't read the rest of that, but let's read it in the Amplified. Romans 12, do not be conformed, 1 and 2 there, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adopted to its external superficial customs. And really, in that respect, I understand that Brother Charlie was going into these campuses and telling them don't be conformed to this world's ways and how wrong mentalities of treating a woman or wrong mentalities of sin, yielding to sin, and you know, wrong men just following the crowd, but follow Christ. Be transformed through Christ. So I believe that was his main message, but again, I'm not trying to push off what he believed in general, but yet we are pressing the spiritual things. We are saying that we, as in Christ, born again believers, have a responsibility to take times like this and stand up for what we believe.
That's right. Amen.
And that's why we're able to live in peace in this United States of America.
Right.
And we pray. We pray for their families. And people are rejoicing that this man has died, but they don't understand the fire that they are creating in their life. They don't understand the doors that they are opening up to the devil in their life to have that attitude and that mentality of hate. Right? So be careful. Those that you don't believe, be careful that we're not just spewing even those who have done bad things. Be careful that we're not slamming them, putting them down, because God died for them.
Yes.
They just haven't come and received it.
That's
so
right.
What do? We talk about the sin.
Yes.
We talk about coming to Christ and receiving him as Lord and Savior. And if you don't, there is a hell to shun or a heaven to gain.
Yeah.
And we let people know that. And we let them know sin is wrong. And there's certain things, and it's in the guise of political, but in the Bible, it's not political.
Right.
In the Bible, it's sin. And we call sin what it is. Abortion is sin. We call these things, and you might have your thoughts about this, and I don't want to get into conversations about these things. I'm just saying that God never ordained for us to take it upon ourselves to kill any man or woman or baby. You understand? And, what if the doctor, and we have to mention some of these things. What if they were going to die because of that? You know what? That's between them and God. I'm not going there. I'm just saying, in general, abortion is wrong. And one of the things that Pastor Jay and I do, we do try to stay away from political things as much as at all possible, but we call sin, sin. Homosexuality is sin.
That's right.
We can't condone these things and help people. So if somebody comes to our congregation who is living a homosexual lifestyle, we would pull them aside separately if we knew that and minister to them and let them know, if you want to change, if you want the Word of God and you're readily able to receive it, we'll help you and we'll work with you. And over the years, we have worked with homosexual individuals, and we've seen people be delivered from that lifestyle. Sin is sin. You understand? But there's a stronghold that's going on because they need to renew their mind, and they can become saved, but because of the lifestyle in their background, these things are so much attached And a transformation process never took place in their mentality.
Yep. There it is.
And they didn't develop their heart.
There it is.
Why? Usually because they're not involved with a good local church, but some are. And then they get off in these. Why? Because they didn't let go of the mentalities of their past.
True.
Yes. They didn't let go of lifestyles. And then they just expected that these things were going to fall off of them like ripe cherries off of a tree.
Right.
But my friend, it's not going to fall off of you. You're going to have to use your authority. And what did we learn in Colossians 3? You got to lay it down. You've got to spiritually take your hand and lay down sin. Lay down habits. Lay it down, cut it off. And then it's the help of the Spirit. We say, Father, I take your strength.
Yes. Yes.
So lay it down and take up his strength. Take up his ability and start speaking who you are in Christ. And that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Praise the Lord. So don't be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Romans 12:2 in the New Living Testament. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And that's the only way that if people get into these certain situations where they have to be led by the Spirit of God in every aspect. So conformed means to conform to the same pattern, figuratively, fashion yourself according to, i.e. one's mind and character, to another's pattern, fashion oneself according to. All right. Pastor Jay made a statement that I think helps there. Conformity, and he's really talking about conformity to the things of this world, and he says to voluntarily accept or submit to a condition without resistance. To voluntarily accept or submit to a condition without resistance. To resign oneself to that condition or to that area, i.e. sickness, financial poverty, addiction. To resign oneself to that condition or that area. It brings a conformity rather than a transformation. See, we can conform to the world's ways and say, okay, it's okay to do this. Or we can transform our thoughts to, in God's law,
come on.
Yes.
Come on.
There's no going there.
Come on.
So be very careful that you don't become politically correct with the Word of God. Be very careful that you don't start putting your own opinions on what the Word says. And like I said, I'm not going to get in somebody's business and try to and debate with them or whatever. I'm just saying I'm going to stay with the original. What does the Word say? You know, pastors, we have to just stick with the Word of God and not get into, you know, at the same time, although I have a lot of respect for somebody that go around to colleges and debate and this and that, as a pastor, it is not my job to debate everybody.
Right.
See, there's different callings.
Yes.
And that's not my job.
Right.
My job is to stand up here and preach, and you can go home and decide whether you want to do it or not.
Right.
And if you want to debate me, you don't have to come back.
Right.
I'm not trying to get rid of you.
No.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's set up
that
we are to preach and teach the word, and you can readily receive it or not.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Now pray for me.
Yeah.
Pray for Pastor Jay.
Yes.
That we would be sound, that we would use wisdom, and we have people that speak into our lives and that keep us right. You know, I'm just saying we do. We have a pastor. We have a board. You know, but we're not board ruled and board run and board taken over. Amen.
Amen.
The board does not tell us what to preach and teach.
That's right.
They wouldn't be on the board if they did.
No.
But at the same time, we are accountable.
Yes.
We are accountable. We even have a financial board that we're accountable to. And they look at our finances. Did you know that Pastor Nancy herself looks at our finances? She's on our board. And others in the body of Christ that we have deep respect for are on our board. And if we did something wrong, and Pastor Nancy has told us, watch this or watch this. Now, it wasn't that we were doing something wrong with finances. It's just that she's giving us wisdom in different things. You understand? Because in all honesty, I have a lot of respect for my husband, your pastor. I have a lot of respect for him and the way that he handles finances. Because he's not one of those who likes gray areas. Kimberly, others know that. He does not like gray areas. He wants to stay away from that. And we want to do right. We want to be right. You understand? It's not that we never make mistakes or what have you. But pastors have to be held to a higher standard. So in that respect, we need to know what we're doing. We need to hire proper accountants, people that are doing the finances right, that are able to look at our finances at any time. Nothing's hidden. I'm not talking about the whole congregation, because then you get, you know, all these views. Moving right along, that was all free. But the accountant looks at it, our pastor looks at it, our board, you understand? Yeah. So moving right along, conformity. It's different than transformation. I said conformity is different than transformation. And to be transformed means to be figuratively, it's a metamorphosis, a transfiguration. Now, there's two types of metamorphosis that I read about. One's complete and one's incomplete. What do you mean? Well, the complete one is, you know, that butterfly comes from, starts out as the larva. Yeah, and then I think it's like the pupa, well, the cocoon. And there's a wrapping process, and then that goes into the cocoon. And then there's a struggle coming out of that, but then there's new life. And a butterfly. And that butterfly can fly around and it go places that it never was able to at that unregenerate state. What do you mean unregenerative? Well, I liken it to the unregenerative man. The man that needs to be born again, or woman, you could say. And that larva stage is, you know, they're going around, they're eating dirt and junk and, you know, living a sinful life or whatever. But when they hear the message and God is dealing with them, the Holy Ghost is preparing their heart. They're hearing that message, and they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and immediately that cocoon is formed. Immediately, they become new on the inside. And they come out of that cocoon with new life. And they're able to soar to areas that they never were able to soar to. But let me tell you something. What if that butterfly came out and he didn't press his way through that cocoon? Because they say it's very difficult to get through that cocoon. But it strengthens their muscles so that they can get through completely, and then they can fly. But what if they just sat there?
Oh boy. Yeah, come on.
And we've got to teach people, in order to renew your mind and develop your heart, that you're going to come to a place, you're going to be so excited about who you are in Christ. You're going to be so excited about the love of God now that is inside of you. You're going to be so excited. But then the persecution hits. You realize that you got to lay down old mentalities. You're pressing through that end stage of that cocoon so that that new life can take hold and you have transformation, not conformity. Yes, you're conforming to the will and the plan, but really you're being transformed. The conformity is a process where you start out. But a transformation is when you're actually changed. A conformity is something that, Lord, I want that for my life, so I conform to it. But if you don't do what the word says for transformation, you're never going to be able to live out the completeness of those desires. Amen. Is this helping anybody? Is this getting you to think at all? Who you are in Christ. Amen. And at that stage, and you might say, I have so many things coming against me. Well, if you go into a gym and you say to them, I want some muscles, do they come to you and, you know, Kimberly, can I have this for a minute?
Go ahead.
They come to you and say, okay, we got some muscles here. Hold your arm up. Hold your arm. Yeah, that one. I'll use this one. There you go. There's the muscles.
No.
Is that what they do?
No.
No. What they do is they say, here, do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they give you this big weight.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yep. Right.
Yes, they do.
Every day, I'm lifting weight, right. Every day,
yes.
I get up and I start it all over again.
Yes.
And then that resistance,
yes. Come on.
That resistance is what breaks the mold.
Yeah.
It breaks, you know, in other words, and your muscles grow and it pushes out.
Yes.
And it helps, you know, scar tissue and whatever. Presses it out. There are things that we are locked into in our mentalities because we grew up with these mentalities of sin and restlessness and dysfunctionalism. You know, y'all been there, done that, right? Most of all of our families were dysfunctional. I would say all of them were at one point. I mean, some in more levels than others. So we don't need to point anybody out. Our parents many times did what they knew to do. The best that they knew to do. Maybe they didn't have the Word of God like some of us have. We ought to be doing better, right? But not living in shame, just get up the next day and just go back at it. And it's not a works program. That's not what I'm trying to say. When we're talking about building your faith, you're getting in the Word. You're finding out what you have, and that's knowledge. And then you come to a revelation of, I need this for myself. So you start applying it. And in that process, you lay down the old, remember, Colossians 3, and you take up the new.
Amen.
So it's a renovation process. And that's why we started out in the offering, to understand those things. All right, well, praise the Lord. So there's a metamorphosis that's complete, and there's another one that's incomplete. So that complete metamorphosis is that larva stage that goes to the cocoon that goes to that butterfly that flies. You know, that butterfly could just sit there and do nothing. And many Christians are doing that. Some of them are struggling to get out of that cocoon. They've got new life inside of them. See, that butterfly is changed. It's just not quite out of the cocoon yet. Don't stay at the cocoon of doubt and unbelief, harboring offense, the things of your past. Stay in freedom. Anything that challenges your freedom, lay it down. If you go home today, well, I didn't understand that, or I don't like this, or I didn't, there's not freedom in that. There's freedom in peace.
Yes.
There's freedom in, if God sent you here,
that's right,
then just glean from the Word. You know, just put your hand to the plow, help out, you know, that type of thing. There's freedom in that. There's not freedom in fighting against everybody in the body of Christ. There's not freedom. Well, moving right along. I'm not saying not to stand up for yourself, but too many people get off in the fight when really Jesus already fought for you. And our main objective is to tell people about Jesus. Our main objective is to show them through our lifestyle. And if we don't like what they do, do we take them out? No. That's not Christ-likeness. No, it's not. Praise the Lord. It's not right. So an incomplete is what they call, it's a metamorphosis of an insect that doesn't go through a full transformation. Instead, it transitions from what they call the nymph to the adult. And it's a molting process. And there's a lot of there's a lot of significant things where it looks like the adult looks like the nymph. The nymph looks, because it wasn't a complete change. But with that butterfly, it looks nothing like that larva stage. Nothing. So in order to, and you really don't see a butterfly example in the Bible, so to speak, but we just use that because it's so close to Christianity. You know, but we can get off and have the butterfly theology, right? But we're not going to do that. Let's just talk about who we are in Christ and how we renew our mind. But like Pastor Jay said, it's either conforming process, and that's what the world wants to do. They conform to, and they fashion themselves. We have to be very careful you know, what we wear, what we fashion our clothes like, this and that. You know, sure, we all like to look good, but that's not what saves us.
No.
Right?
No.
And there's a certain, you understand, there's a certain amount of, you know, I want to be respectful.
Right.
We don't teach clothesline sermons here. We don't even tell people, you know, what they can wear and what they can't. I'm just saying, you know, do what you can respect.
Amen.
Do what breeds respect.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Sure, I understand. People wear jeans and t-shirts and they preach and I'm not going to go there. I just respect myself more when I'm representing the kingdom of God.
Yes.
With a little bit of deodorant and you know, and my hair is not doing this. Sometimes it does. But anyway, move on along. I'm not going to go any further with that. I'm just saying. But at the same time, we don't need to be politically correct. And I'm not trying to fashion myself after the world's ways. There is a certain amount of honoring God with our dress, with our talking, with our demeanor. Amen? In that respect. But let's move on from that, because people make you say something that you didn't say in the first place. So in Christ, our spirits or our hearts, you could say the human spirit, are created new, but our minds are not. We must develop our spirits and renew our minds. When we receive Christ into our hearts, we are washed clean within, but our minds need to be renewed and our spirits developed so we don't allow wrong things in the heart again. Now, your mind, it's in between your ears, right?
Right.
Yeah. And you can think on the wrong things. Right. And if you're meditating or thinking on the wrong things, that means that you're putting yourself in atmospheres where the wrong things are speaking to your mind, or in atmospheres that aren't conducive for spiritual growth. And that starts to get down on the inside of you. In other words, you start saying it, you start speaking, you start believing it. Or maybe it's something that you never let go from your original life, so there was never a transformation in certain areas of your life. There was a conformity to the plan of God, but there wasn't a transformation. And do you understand that you've got to get up every day and comb your hair?
Come on.
If you don't, you know, maybe I can find somebody that their hair is all messed up and all, it looks like that. But no, y'all look good.
Yeah.
Y'all look good. So we can get up every day. Dad Hagen used to do that to certain ones. There was one gal that, you know, she just kind of wore her hair that way, but, you know, she thought it looked good, and to her it did. I'm glad. But anyway, he would say, you know, she doesn't own a comb, but you know, guys, she is single. Anyway, I thought that was funny. All right, move right along. She was a sweet gal. Anyway, moving right along. I noticed that before she got married, she started combing that hair, though. There's something about getting married where you want to look good, you want to gussy up a little bit.
Yeah.
Does that have to do with my message? Absolutely nothing. All right. We have about 10 minutes here. Are you going to give me a little bit of time to finish it up? All right, moving right along. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we'll read this in the Amplified, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So you can get up and comb your hair every day, but if you get up in the morning the next day, it's going to be messed up again.
True.
Well, it's the same thing. See, our spirit was made new, but our mind has to be renewed. You got to, every day, transform your mind. But your spirit was already transformed. Just like that larva stage to the butterfly, your spirit's transformed. But it's your mind that's got to be transformed if you want to fly. All right.
Yes.
But at the same time, when you are doing the renovation process, when you're changing out wrong mentalities, when you got to be using your faith. So understand that the transformation process is a process where you're actually hearing
and doing.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to do it.
You got to hear it, but you got to do it.
That's right.
And when you're hearing it and doing it, your mind is being renewed.
Absolutely.
Your mind is agreeing with your develop spirit.
Yes, yes.
But if you're hearing the wrong things and you're not renewing your mind, then the wrong things will get down in, and it will impede the faith in your heart.
Yeah.
It will impede the joy and the peace. We've all been there and done that. In other words, it pushes out those things. So there are seeds of faith.
Yes.
There are, see, you're recreated new in Christ, in your spirit, man, in the realm of the spirit, in your human spirit.
Yeah.
But that joy is in seed form.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
At the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a developing process.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
Yes. How many know that if you stop developing that peace, it will go back to seed form? If you stop developing that, in other words, you cannot live on today's faith 5 years from now. Just like your mind has to be renewed, you cannot live off of what you've renewed your mind to today 5 years from now. So in developing your heart, yes, you're new in Christ, but at the same time, you will lose the growth. And they will say that you lose the faith muscle if you don't use it. So if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, I'm not saying, see, you're new in Christ, and inherent in your spirit is seeds of faith and joy and love, but there are byproducts of that that becomes full joy, that becomes fullness. And this is the renovation process. This is a transformation process that we've got. See, if it was just something that we woke up and, hallelujah, I'm saved, and I just open my chest, and a big S is on there. Hallelujah! 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 You thought I was going to really belt it out, didn't you? All right. So let's read 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Amplified. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Living Bible. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. I didn't read these, did I?
No.
Okay. Phillips, for if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Great. Oh, praise the Lord, Pastor Debbie. I'm glad I don't have to get up and do anything.
No.
No? Remember, God completed you.
Yes.
Come on, right.
He made you fresh and new.
That's right.
Yes.
He sees you fully developed.
Yes.
But he expects you, like that butterfly, got to get out of that cocoon. He expects you to get up out of that bed. He expects you to get up and start getting in the Word. Just time of fellowship with the Lord in the morning, no matter what age we are, it's going to help us. And things will start falling off of us. And if you are distraught, and we started out at the beginning, just if there's anything in your life that there's shame or whatever, my friend, just repent. Don't make it, just make it simple. But you can't get up and live in your sin every day.
Come on with that.
Come on, that's right.
You have to renew your mind and develop your heart on a daily basis. And let your mind conform to the Word of God, but be transformed by the renewing, in other words, by doing it. So you start out with a conformity, you start out with a desire, you start out with a purpose, but then do something with it. Actually act on it, and it becomes a transformation. Otherwise, you're just conforming. You're just, well, I'm saying one thing, and really, another thing's going on. I'm saying one thing, and I'm doing another. So we can conform to the will of God, we conform to His Word, but a transformation process is a literal change in our life. And the only thing, if you want changed, and there are people, there are colleges, we are seeing revival all over the world. We are seeing people stand up. But more than ever, they need examples of what true Christianity is. It's not a political fight, my friend. We can stand for political things, and there are certain things I believe, and I will stand up for. You understand? But I am here to show people what the Word says.
Yes.
Let's talk about the word. Let's preach and teach the word. Yes. Let's be an example of the word.
Yes.
If somebody doesn't receive that, I'm going to love you, but I'm going to move on.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to force anything on you.
That's right.
All right? So the world needs us to stand up and be examples of what God's word says and be examples of transformation. So in the morning, taking time in the word, taking time in fellowship. What do you mean fellowship? Well, you're fellowshipping with him when you're just reading his word.
Amen.
How many in this room, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many, when you just read a scripture in the morning, it helps you?
Yes.
Because there's life in the word.
Yes.
How many throughout the day, if you take a scripture, and sometimes I'll do that, I'll take a card with me and I'll read that scripture, or I have many memorized and I'll just say it. How many that helps you? How many sometimes we just, well, I'm not, before I watch that program or do this, I'm just gonna spend some time reading the word.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna spend some time, you know, thanking my Father. I'm just gonna spend some time, you know, loving on Jesus.
Yes.
And asking him, you know, what would you like in my life, Father? Amen. And many times we don't do that because we think we have to be there for 3 hours, and then it's a mentality of compulsion or mentality of do's and don'ts, or you understand? But righteousness is something that's already on the inside. He's already made you right. He's already made you. Your spirit wants fellowship with God. Your spirit, you just have to tap into that. You just got to draw it out by faith. How do you do that? Speaking. Just start talking about how you love Jesus. Just start praising him throughout the day. Go to church. Go to listen to programs that are conducive for spiritual growth. Have it in your car. It will start taking effect on your life. If you did that with the world's things, it's going to start taking effect. You're going to start conforming to the world's ways. And eventually you're going to be transformed, but in a wrong way. You don't want that. Don't be in conformity. And that's what we started out with. Conform to his will and plan, but actually be transformed. Let it transform you. Notice this. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. What do you want your destiny to be? Renewing the mind is changing out the wrong thoughts and images in the mind that have become strongholds and produced wrong or sinful actions. In order to change out behaviors, we must replace the wrong thinking with the truth of God's word and then use our faith to act like the word is so. If we don't change the wrong thinking, then it gets inside the heart and hinders, crowds, impedes, pushes out the fruits of the Spirit. In other words, the byproducts, right? That is how success or failure gets on the inside. And we'll end with this. Charles Capp said something that I just love this statement. And it was along this line because I wrote down a question mark. In other words, I wasn't for sure, but you get the essence of it. No failure of a business deal has established the failure of a man. And no success of the business deal has established the success of a man. Getting that image of that failure or success on the inside is what establishes the failure or success of that man.
Yeah, that's good.
And then he gives Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him.
Yes.
Put on the new man. Yeah. Remember, we've talked before about Simon the sorcerer, and he came, and he was a man that thought he knew the power of God, but it was the power of the devil, and people would call him a great god, and he got saved under Philip's ministry, and he sat in the front row and saw the miracles, and he saw the signs and wonders, and it wasn't until Peter came, and they were telling them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and about the utterance that comes, and Simon tried to buy that gift. And Peter said to him, I perceive that you have bitterness. I perceive that there are wrong things in you, that sin is abounding in your life. Why? He hadn't renewed his mind. He hadn't transformed that way of thinking. He wanted to be seen as the great power of God rather than give God glory and honor and praise. Yeah, I mean, we're funning around about Brian being the center of attention. He's a precious man. That's why I can joke with him. You understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Because I love that he uses his faith. Yeah. He uses his faith. But in all honesty, we're not here. I said that, I prefaced that, because we're not here to show ourselves strong.
Yeah.
We're here that God is glorified.
Yeah.
See, he's glorified when we use our faith, when we get up and do what we couldn't do before. Why don't you stand up? Transformation. And I guess we could call this conformity or transformation. Conformity or transformation. Let's get serious about not just conforming to the Word of God, but transforming ourselves through the renewing of our mind, the developing of our heart. And for so long, I didn't understand quite what that meant. But it's a simple process. Look at the word, hear it, meditate on it, do it, put it to practice, and you're changing out wrong mindsets. You're developing your heart. You're becoming a mature Christian.
Yes.
And that knowledge, that understanding, and then it's a multifaceted wisdom that you start walking in wisdom in your life rather than confusion. If you're walking in confusion, my friend, then I would encourage you to go back to the beginning of what God told you to do. Go back. Anything that takes you away from the local church will breed confusion.
Absolutely.
Anything that takes you away from the simplicity of God's word will breed confusion.
Yes.
Anything.
Yes.
So we have to let go of the past mentalities and the things that we grew up with and the offenses and the things that were set before us, maybe right things were, and we've got to change them out for what God's word says, the righteousness. Don't you love the fact that this is not an evil book? It's a holy book.
Yes.
And it works holiness. Yes. And sanctification in our lives is the Holy Ghost coming and working that renewing of the mind and the developing of the heart. In other words, he's taking the righteousness that was complete inside of us, and it is completed through our actions of faith.
Yeah.
Become complete in him. Amen? We love you. We appreciate you. You're special to us. If anybody is dealing with symptoms of sickness and disease, Pastor Jay and I have an anointing to minister to individuals through the laying on of hands, and we could just agree with you. You understand? Mark 11:22 says, have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. Whoever says to this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says, he will have whatever he says. And he says, believe that you receive, or what you ask for. So you can speak to sickness and disease, or you can just believe that you receive. But there's an anointing that you can receive by faith. And if you would like me to lay hands on you today, I'm more than willing to do that. If there's somebody and you say you want to come up here, well, that embarrasses me. Well, afterwards, you can have Miss Maya or Brother Andre minister to you. And you might say, well, why just use them? Because they've been tried. Along this line, we can trust them. They've been with us for years.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't just get up here and start praying for people.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And so, yes, you can pray with others. Yes, you can do that. But here at the local church, we have to have order.
Amen.
Somebody, you know, recently wanted to know why they couldn't get up and pray for people. Well, you can pray for people. Your mind has been transformed. Go find somebody to pray for. That's fine. But in the local church, you understand that we do have order along that line. And so we do have Andre and Maya that would minister to you if you didn't want to come up. And anybody. That was all free. Amen. Amen. Brother Josh? Okay. What's going on, brother? Okay. So we can be diagnosed with something, but that doesn't mean we went wrong. I mean, you got to talk to the Lord about that. But I would encourage you not to allow shame. And if God talks to you about something, that's all good and fine. But just let that healing power minister to you. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Healed and whole. Father, we minister the anointing of God to Josh right now. And just say, I receive.
I receive.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
The anointing was right in my hands. Just say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Yeah. And you don't have to fall over. That doesn't mean you're healed. Amen. But go your way thanking God that that anointing is working in you now. Amen. Anybody else?
Some pain in my right shoulder.
Okay. And sometimes, you know, the Lord will have me tap on that area or what have you, and I just saw that when I, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the healing power of God, for the miraculous power of God. Just lift up your hands and just do this. Just do this. Is there something you couldn't do?
Much. No pain.
Yeah. Well, go your way healed and whole. Thank God that you're healed and whole. Amen.